So I have farmers that their kids are psychologists, are engineers. They looking for their own path. Mm. And many farmers are in the fourth generation of growing. So their grandparents and then and now younger generation see the price is not good. I want something new for my life. I want something innovative. They are not interested in growing the same way, following the same rules. And so they are doing their own lives because, you know, for them, coffee is not interesting.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 4 of a fantastic series with Jonas Figueiredo. And we are talking about Brazilian coffee in 2024. The last episode, we had a fantastic conversation about the geopolitics and how it's impacting coffee. In this episode, we want to talk about the incentives for the next generation of coffee producers and what incentives there are for small and medium holder producers to actually see through a succession plan for the next generation. Jonas, help me understand the mindset of coffee producers. If we continue the conversation from our last one about geopolitics, what is the landscape with regards to producers? Are they typically left-leaning? Are they typically right-leaning? Are they old school? Are they technologists? Like, you are on the ground with producers all day, every day. So tell us what that looks like.
Yeah, in Brazil, most of the farmers, like mm-hmm. I said, is smaller or medium. Mm-hmm. And we have huge farms in the flat areas, but most of them are more traditional in a way that they grow coffee. Mm-hmm. That means most of them have a more aligned idea of the conservative idea of stuff. This is because after the C market started, the things are not getting better. So mm-hmm. they saw something in the past that was better than today, which they have no government support and for many things, and they prosper. But one of the reasons is because the C price was more share for that, so they could pay all their bills and labor was cheaper. And another thing that they some farmers think is about government assistance to people. Farmers think many times that, these assistance that are making people do not work.
You mean stimulus money?
Yeah, they already receive money from the government, so it's easier to stay home instead of working. But the point, in my opinion, is not related to receive money. It's related to sometimes better conditions of work or better salary or fair salary. Mm-hmm. And the farmers think about, okay, but I prosper without all this stimulus mm-hmm. and I get there and you should do the same. And so in this point, the generations start to get conflicted, mm-hmm. Not only inside the farm, like family farms, but for the workers, mm-hmm. the younger, that we know, I know a lot of business grow, a lot of people prosper, in a harsh conditions. They work a lot. But people now are thinking more about them. And this is good. So I have to have good quality with my family. I should travel. I should enjoy my time. Maybe I got tired of my work. So it's not a lost job. Like I said goodbye to my boss. I forgot the word.
You resign.
Yeah. And I go to try a different thing in my life. And for a traditional people, no matter it's grower or not, it's not right that.
Right.
That is, they think, okay, we start this business. And for me, one of the things that the new generation are not going to the coffee because many of them are trying to try different things in their lives. So I have farmers that their kids are psychologists, are engineers. They looking for their own path. And many farmers are in the fourth generation of growing. So their grandparents and then and now younger generation see the price is not good. I want something new for my life. I want something innovative. They are not interested in growing the same way, following the same rules. And so they are doing their own lives because, you know, for them, coffee is not interesting. It's really hard to convince a young man or woman that is more interesting to stay in the farm and work or go outside the world and see different perspectives. And maybe I saw that in some situations that kids from the farmers go outside, have a profession, and after 20 years go back to the farm and start farming in a different way. I have clients that their father were a farmer 20 years ago, and then he worked or she worked 20 years as an engineer or a doctor, and they want to go back. But do different, like
have
a forest, regenerative, organic. And so it's interesting. This it's still very small, but it's like 30% of my clients is like that.
Wow.
They're interested to go back, but in a different way, with a different mindset about coffee growing. So they want to bring tourists, having received them.
Hotel.
And have a good, things like that.
So if I hear you correctly, the majority of smallholder and mediumholder farms are owned by people who are conservatives. For those who don't know what a conservative is, conservatives believe in less government intervention in the way that life is run. That's just to put it very, very basically, that's what that is. And we live in an era where a lot of the people who are running farms, the information that was passed down to them from the generation that came before them is not the same kind of information that will be helpful to the next generation of owners because of things like technology and because of things like climate change and energy transition. The way that coffee production is going to need to happen over the next 20 years is going to be very different than when the sea market first started and this current generation was becoming coffee producers. What is Brazil looking at now when it looks at the future of coffee production? Is it looking at the idea that, yes, these farms are going to be passed down, or is it more a sense of consolidation is going to happen and big business is going to come in and buy those farms? Is there a national conversation happening around that, or is it just something that is being not talked about?
If you ask me that question about 10 years ago, I will say most of the coffee farming in the near future will be made by companies or people that are interested in grow coffee as agribusiness, like the farmers, like industry. It's important to make farm, so I put money in there, and I got farm, I got coffee in the other side. But the things changed. One of the problems is related to climate, because many of these flat areas in Brazil is located in hot areas. So with the heat wave that we had in the last 5 months affected a lot the yields for this year, 2024. And the majority of the areas were located there. So if you want to grow coffee in flat areas in Brazil, the farmer need more technology. It's more expensive. It's more complicated. So today I do not know for sure, because the mountainous area is more fresh here. It's turning to be an alternative again to grow coffee in Brazil. And that is why I think the mechanized areas in Brazil do not expanded as far as we are taught 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I will taught that everything will be mechanized because of the costs related to hand labor, and it's harder to grow coffee in mountainous areas. But that not happens, because it's not as easier as people think to grow coffee in flat areas. It's not so much cheaper, because the climate conditions turn to be an issue there. So, okay, you could use irrigation, but first you need water to do the irrigation. And there are some places that we had lack of rains, and was in that area too, the flat areas, mechanized areas. So it's hard to see the expansion of coffee there. And so government are trying to give some kind of incentive to not just coffee, but all the crops. But there is not a specific, as far as I know, for a different path in terms of government. I just saw like movements, like the one that grows a lot in the last 2 or 3 years, it's related to regenerative agriculture. And so we grow coffee and bring, it's not just about sustainable, in my opinion, because it's not a main line to explain, at least as far as I read, what is exactly regenerative agriculture.
Okay.
But the idea is, it's not just make sustainable, but do a little thing more. So in order to make the coffee ecosystem farm, to bring some kind of benefits, like instead of use a lot of fertilizer, the usual one, the soluble one, I start to use organic, mix it in order to put more carbon
into the ground,
dioxide into the ground. So I plant trees, so I use less pesticides, and so on, so on. And so I saw, but it's more a movement of international buyers, like in Germany mostly, and that are interested in growing, that farmers have more sustainability instead of just following the rules of sustainability, but have a more balanced agroecological system to grow coffee or grow whatever kind of crop.
Yeah, wow. It really is like a jigsaw puzzle that you move one piece and you think that these two pieces fit together, and then you realize that the jigsaw puzzle has four other sides that also have to fit into a whole bunch of other things, right? Am I understanding? It's far more complicated than a lot of us think when we start to try to understand what the future is going to hold for this, right?
Yeah, it's It's a kind of mix. I really have, for now, I have a hard way to predict future, because I still see people that want to pay less for their food or their coffee. There are people that are interested in very high standards of sustainability, which sometimes is not sustainable too, because...
the irony.
because sometimes the farmer put a lot of money there and they do not know exactly what they need to do. And the standards in each country is different. So Germany wants something, in China another thing, in the United States another thing. So it's hard to the farmer follow all the rules, like the new certification that you said. In Brazil, it's not hard to do that because all the areas, I think 99% of the areas in Brazil, it's areas that already had coffee for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So in Brazil, coffee is not something that put forests down to grow coffee. First, it's not just because we have already settled areas. It's because the areas that we have forests, like in Amazon forests,
mm-hmm.
it's not as good for coffee too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's most on the southeast of Brazil. So for Brazil, it's not complicated to follow that rules in order to export. For me, the only thing it's how they gonna certify that in each farm.
Yeah.
So who is going to certify that in each farm?
And I would encourage folks to check out Enveritas, mm-hmm. because I know that the folks at Enveritas, David Browning and his team, have been doing a great job. They're not a sponsor of this podcast. I don't get paid for saying anything like that. Just want to make that clear. I just really like what Enveritas is doing around mm-hmm. that. But they are... signing MOUs with governments around the world at the moment, because their software that they have, their imaging software, and David mm-hmm. has taken me through that. But they are using AI and images from satellites that are much, much more accurate than a lot of other people are using. So that's one alternative for... Mm-hmm. That certification, and they're signing MOUs, but also I know that they're working with the European Union to mm-hmm. understand what the requirements are. So that might be mm-hmm. a place to start. In the next episode, folks, we're going to be talking about the predictions that Jonas has for 2024 and 2025. And for those of you who have been waiting to hear about the heat waves that have been happening, that's where we're going to start the conversation in the next episode. So join us for the final episode of this series. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.